Well, good afternoon, everyone. I was about to call 911 yesterday because I saw this big, bright, yellow thing in the sky that I didn't quite recognize. I guess we all need rain, too, right? Well, I was in France at the feast, and I took back a cold with me, and every day it's been a little better, but even this morning, a couple of times, I went through some coughing fits. It's usually only a problem when I speak, so I guess we'll see how it goes. The Modest Brewing Company in Minneapolis is a relatively new microbrewery. Last year, they created a new IPA that they called Dilly Dilly IPA. Now, that name may sound familiar to you if you are a sports fan and watch games on television, but in particular the commercials during sporting events. The brewery was sort of riding the wave of popularity of a pretty successful ad campaign by Bud Light. Now, if you haven't seen these ads, they're set in medieval times in a king's court. And the king, of course, loves Bud Light and sends people who do not share his love of the beverage to the pit of misery, or a dungeon, in other words. Now, it may not fit everyone's sense of humor, but it is memorable, and I suppose that's the idea of an ad campaign. The makers of Bud Light, however, had trademarked the term Dilly Dilly. But instead of lashing out with legal action, they instead sent a town crier to the brewery, fitting right in with their medieval ad campaign. So in full town crier garb, he read from a scroll. "Dear friend of the crown, Modest Brewing Company, congratulations on the launch of your new beer, Dilly Dilly Mosaic Double IPA. Let it be known that we believe any beer shared between friends is a fine beer indeed, and we are duly flattered by your loyal tribute. However, Dilly Dilly is the motto of our realm, so we humbly ask that you keep this to a limited edition one-time-only run. This is by order of the king. Disobedience shall be met with additional scrolls, then a formal warning, and finally a private tour of the pit of misery. You know, please send a raven letter or electronic mail to let us know that you agree to this request. Also, we will be in your fair citadel of Minneapolis for the Super Bowl and would love to offer two thrones to said game for two of your finest employees to watch the festivities and enjoy a few Bud Lights on us. Yours truthfully, Bud Light." Okay, well, it was kind of a cute event, having a town crier and all show up to make a formal, yet kind of tongue-in-cheek announcement like this. In my average day, I can't say that I run into too many town criers. You know, prior to widespread literacy, town criers were used extensively to communicate with townsfolk, since many people could not read or write. So proclamations, local laws, market days, and all kinds of information were passed along through a town crier. To this day, there's even a North American Town Crier Championship, which is held periodically. Now, while a formal definition of a town crier is someone employed by a town to make public announcements by shouting in the street, this term today can also mean someone on social media who insists that everyone should read and post and like countless articles or posts because they believe something bad will happen to them if they don't spread the word. Now, my own definition of a modern-day town crier is more along the lines of someone who just blabs a lot. You know, it's the person who is constantly spreading information, and much of the time, information that really isn't appropriate. Now, consider these examples of passing along information. An acquaintance of mine is having marital problems. You know, I think he's cheating on his wife, and I heard he spends a lot of time at the casino. I picked up my dry cleaning yesterday, and the woman behind the counter had a ridiculous outfit on, had a horrible accent, and wore too much makeup. My accountant still has not filed an addendum to my tax return, which would put $500 back in my bank account. He's just worthless. You know, how do you feel about hearing these random statements? Maybe you are at least a little uncomfortable as I was saying them. Now, there may be truth in everything that I said, but it's not very edifying, is it? You know, gossip, misinformation, indiscretion, and, you know, flat-out mean or hurtful statements can all be under the umbrella of a modern-day town crier. Gossip and indiscretion, I mean, these are powerful tools of corruption in use today. You know, harm is unleashed, and that damage is seldom disinfected when a statement of retraction or even an apology is provided. You know, how well this is illustrated when a newspaper prints a retraction, right? I mean, the shocking story was in big, bold letters on page one, and the retraction is kind of subdued on the bottom of page seven. All right, let's go to Proverbs 2, and we'll read verses 11 through 13. Proverbs 2, 11 through 13. Proverbs 2, and starting in verse 11. Discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. You know, discretion and understanding are combined here as a shield against evil and darkness. Well, what encompasses understanding here? Well, I would think it would involve many things, including an understanding of Scripture, an understanding of the people and personalities that we are with at a given time, and also an understanding of how other people would be affected by our words. You know, we humans, we like to feel smart. And it's pretty gratifying to have other people compliment our intelligence. Well, one way to feel smart is to be in possession of knowledge or information that someone else doesn't have. You know, if I know how to replace brake pads on my car and Bob does not, you know, Satan wants me to feel good about that. I'm better than Bob, you know, he kind of whispers in my ear. If Samantha knows the capital of Armenia and I don't, well, Satan will want me to feel bad about that. So when I know some juicy piece of information that you don't, there's an earthly pull that makes me want to prove to you that I have information that you do not. I want to be the provider of information. You know, I want to feel smart. I want to be the town crier. Now, it is certainly Satan that makes me feel that way, but it's also my lack of understanding that makes me feel that way. It's my lack of humility that makes me feel this way. You know, the words humble and humility appear in Scripture 54 times, according to my concordance. How many verses exist that discuss the personal advantages of sharing worldly information? Well, what then stops us from gossip, from sharing information that we may have? Well, discretion and understanding do. Discretion should keep our lips sealed, and understanding should keep other people always in mind. I mean, Jesus Christ is our timeless example. I mean, would we say anything that was not edifying about Christ? Or would we say anything that was not edifying to Christ? I just want to cover some familiar scripture here for a basis. If you want to join me in Ephesians 4, we'll read verse 29. Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Ephesians 4:29 reads, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Well, Paul here gives a speaker responsibility, which goes well with the untamable tongue written about in James. You know, Paul knows well that the tongue, the words we speak, can be a dagger. The worldly pleasure that we can sometimes feel by divulging misinformation or gossip or just something unflattering, that can be very appealing. You know, Satan has ensured this. But a knife in one's flesh will leave a scar, even if nursed by a skilled surgeon. We just need to exercise caution in what we say. Now let's go to James. James 1. We'll read verses 19 through 20. James 1, verses 19 through 20. James 1, starting in verse 19. "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Well, James here combines the idea of speaking quickly with wrath, where the two actually do provide a potent combination. You know, do you know a sure way for gossip or misinformation to be spread about you? Anger someone in the world. Or become the target of someone else's greed or selfishness. If quick words and gossip will deliver ratings, discretion and thoughtfulness are not a factor in our media today. People and corporations, they'll wave the First Amendment flag and justify that which is not taught in Scripture. I mean, the United States Constitution is a pretty impressive collection of documents, but it is not the Bible. How many of you remember the 1996 Summer Olympics held in Atlanta, Georgia? One of the memorable events of those games was not on a field of competition, but it was in a park there. A pipe bomb exploded, killing one person and injuring 100 more. Do you know the name of the man that was convicted for setting off this bomb? I mean, I don't, but I do remember the name of the man that was immediately accused, and maybe you remember the name Richard Jewell as well. You know, people were not slow to speak in this case. They wanted a cause, a person, to be identified immediately. I mean, it's sad, but our media reflects the culture of the word of the world today, just this immediate gratification. Not every bit of information we have is meant to be shared. Let's go back to Proverbs. Let's read Proverbs 5, verses 1 through 2. Proverbs chapter 5. We'll read verses 1 through 2. Now, this chapter of Proverbs is focused on the evil of adultery, but there's still general wisdom here. Proverbs 5, and starting in verse 1. "My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge." Well, I found that phrase, "and your lips may keep knowledge," to be insightful. You know, implementing this instruction requires discretion. If one's lips keep knowledge, it means it's at the ready. It's not necessarily information that is spoken, but it could be shared under circumstances that discretion deems prudent. A complementary verse to this is Malachi 2:7, and we won't turn there, but Malachi 2:7 reads, "For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge." You know, it's important to have knowledge, biblical, godly knowledge, at the ready. But it's not always the right time to share what you have to say. You know, God illustrates this with the famous answer or don't answer a fool according to his folly in Proverbs chapter 26. There's a time for words to pass beyond our lips and a time for those words to be kept. And this applies to conversations we have among other believers too, and not just biblical fools, as the term used in Proverbs. But it's never the right time to be the town crier. You know, remember, this is the person that who really wants to be the focus of it all. They don't care so much about the information itself. You know, they're more concerned about the attention that they'll receive. You know, a modern-day town crier reminds me of the Pharisees that Jesus fought against. They loved the attention they received in their positions of authority. Now, we are all listeners in a conversation as well as speakers. So we all have the ability to stop the spread of gossip in how we listen. In 2 Timothy 4:3, the Bible warns us about a time to come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. The Bible says they will have itching ears. Well, that's a pretty fabulous metaphor to illustrate that people want to hear what makes them feel good, what scratches the itch. You know, people want to hear what is easy, what confirms to them that which is right, so they don't feel like they need to change. You know, that same idea of itching ears is also what sustains gossip and keeps town criers popular and in business. I mean, there are very popular magazines and websites that, at their core, whisper secrets in our ears. You know, gossip, insinuation, rumors, all of these publications thrive because of itching ears. Now let's go to Isaiah 30. We'll read verses 8 through 11. Isaiah 30 and verses 8 through 11. These verses here were kind of the inspiration for this message. So Isaiah 30. And starting in verse 8. "Now go, write it before them on a tablet, and note it on a scroll, that it may be for time to come, forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, 'Do not see,' and to the prophets, 'Do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us.'" Well, here in Isaiah, we're told that there's a time to come when people don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear what's right. They want to hear smooth things. Things, easy things, things that will make them think they are perfectly fine the way they are. And even more so, Isaiah here tells us that people would prefer to hear deceit. Now, has that time come? Sure seems like it at times, doesn't it? You know, true religion is hard, right? I mean, living according to God's way and Christ's example is flat out hard. Isaiah here points out what we know very well. People want things easy. Churches that accept anyone and any lifestyle, change doctrine to not offend anyone. I mean, these churches are growing. It's just one example of how people want to be told smooth things and hear deceit. You know, itching ears are the perfect audience for the town crier. Okay, so far in this message, we focused more on what not to do. And by the way, inspiration for this message comes from a lot of self-examination. You know, be careful of the words we speak. You know, don't be an audience member with itching ears. Walk away from the chance to speak or listen to the smooth things, as Isaiah calls words that are not biblically right. Now, that includes doctrine, sure, but also the gossip and everything else that does not pass a discretion test. Now, we know who not to be, the town crier, and we know what not to speak. So who should we be, and what should we speak? Well, I titled this message, The Town Edifier. The Town Edifier. Now, we just read in Isaiah how people who are not wanting to follow God will want prophecy that consists of smooth things and deceits. As we focus more on what we should strive towards, I first want to contrast Isaiah 30:10 with 1 Corinthians 14:3. So if you want to join me in 1 Corinthians 14:3, First Corinthians 14:3 reads, "But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men." Well, I found it interesting that if you don't follow God's ways, you want to hear prophetic words that are easy words, unchallenging words, words that make you feel good. But these words come with deceit, according to what we read in Isaiah. But here in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes that prophetic words should come with edification. And for a believer, this will bring comfort to them. So, in other words, the lie comforts the ungodly, and the truth comforts the believer. And I'll repeat that. The lie comforts the ungodly, and the truth comforts the believer. Now that's to me is a pretty fascinating conclusion we can reach by comparing Isaiah 30:10 with 1 Corinthians 14:3. I mean the Bible's pretty awesome, isn't it? Years ago the brakes on my vehicle started screaming at me when I was approaching a stop sign while it was the time for new brake pads. While I was in the waiting area of the dealership, a woman walked in. Well, she waited patiently for 2 or 3 minutes while the attendant behind the counter was finishing up with someone else. You know, I think she caught my eye initially because, well, she was pretty cute. Well, when her turn came, she walked up to the counter and began to express her sincere appreciation for the work that had been done to her vehicle the prior week. I mean, it was one glowing compliment after another. I mean, she had no appointment, and she wasn't picking up anything. I mean, it was a visit comprised of just pure edification. And the attendant was truly humbled and touched by the show of gratitude. Later, when my vehicle was ready and he was going over the paperwork with me, you know, I could still tell that he was just moved by that experience. You know, that story won't make the news, but it was a newsworthy moment to me. It was a great example. I mean, this is why we make the effort to have good things come out of our mouths. This is why it is not about how we feel so much as it is about how we can make other people feel. You know, this is why when we have a choice to say a good thing or a bad thing, you know, we strive to say the good thing. You know, there is a statistic that asserts that people are more likely to tell other people of a bad experience than a good one. Now, the woman at the dealership was certainly an exception to this. But I remember years ago working as a waiter, I could get beaming compliments from 9 tables that I served in an evening. And I could get one complaint. It's so much easier for me to remember that one complaint. I'm truly grateful God and Jesus Christ are not like that. You know, in a day when we blow up in anger towards someone and cast our evil words about, our advocate will be defending us for that day. And not just because we've hopefully repented, but also because we held open a door for someone. You know, we picked a gum wrapper off the road. We offered to bring someone food because we heard they weren't feeling well. We extended a sincere compliment to someone. You know, we edified. You know, I could log on to any social media website and I can find a host of nasty comments written by someone, even friends and people I know. I could read the editorial or submission pages of any newspaper, and I could report to you the same thing. It is difficult to filter out the background and the foreground noise of this age. But there are the nice moments of edification that I like to bank into memory. A couple with 3 small children, ages 2, 3, and 8, were having dinner in a restaurant near Seattle. It wasn't until the couple got home that they looked at the receipt, and they noticed they had a $4 discount on their bill. Well, when they looked a little closer, there was a description itemizing this discount that said, "Well-behaved kids." Now, it was a simple thing. Yet a compliment to their parenting skills. I mean, it was edification. Dictionary.com defines edify as to instruct or benefit, especially spiritually, to uplift. Now, the Greek word oikodome, I'll spell that, oikodome, oikodome, that's used in replace of edify in the English translations, or rather edify is used in replace of that word. Now, this Greek word means to build. And this leaves us with another truism given to us throughout the Bible. God builds and Satan destroys. God builds and Satan destroys. You know, the disciples asked Jesus who among them was the greatest. They rebuked children for wanting to come close to Jesus. In Mark chapter 9, they forbade another man who was not part of their group from casting out demons in Christ's name. Now, were the disciples exhibiting qualities of discretion and understanding and edification in these examples? Edification is what's best for other people, and Jesus illustrated this with his responses in these situations. You know, Jesus states in Matthew 15 and in Mark 7 that it is not what goes into us that defile us, but it's what comes out of us. And James uses wonderful metaphors about how words are like bits in horses' mouths and rudders on ships. You know, such a little thing as words can control our whole being and put our salvation at risk. I mean, there's one last verse I want to turn to. It's Jude, verse 16. Just one chapter in Jude. So Jude, verse 16. Now here Jude talks about ungodly men in Jude, verse 16. Jude verse 16 reads, "These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage." I mean, you cannot grumble and complain in the process of providing love to someone. You know, edification is not something that gains us an advantage over other people. The advantage for us when we do edify is that we draw closer to God. And what worldly advantage supersedes this? Town criers will grumble and complain and seek attention for their own advantage, even if just to become popular. The modern-day town crier lacks discretion and understanding and will usually knock down someone or something. This person will speak smooth things, readily accepted by itching ears. The modern-day town crier destroys. But the town edifier will build. This person will build up relationships and build up other people. This person has discretion and understanding with lips that keep knowledge when words do not edify. This person will leave the comfort of a daily routine to lift someone else up. So, we have a homework assignment this week. Let's make an effort to edify someone else. Let's go out of our way. Let's leave the comfort of our routines and let's lift someone else up. You know, compliment a classmate or a coworker out of the blue. You know, knock on a neighbor's door with a small gift or kind words. You know, shine the light of our great God and help build up someone in a world that is constantly tearing people down. I mean, it'll feel pretty good. I can almost promise that. You know, we can all use another part-time job, no matter how busy we are. Now, this job doesn't pay well, but the benefits are out of this world. You know, you don't need to fill out an application. All you need to do is simply decide to be the town edifier.